Stubbin' a Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Got my Focus right here. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com. Caroline Fenton out today. Ian's with us. Hello, Ian. How are you?
What up? Doing good. Thanks.
So I want to start with the fact that yesterday's Titans game, first off, how about the Titans? And also, how about that Chiefs and Bengals game? Both were awesome yesterday if you were a Titan fan. I tweeted this out last night, and I said that there would be nobody who would be more excited about the developments within the last 42 hours, or really 24 hours, than the GM himself. Because you know the GM, I said it yesterday on Twitter, nobody loved the Titans more, and nobody loved being a Titan more than the GM. And so I was thinking about him, Titans in the driver's seat for the number one seed. Oh my goodness, what a difference a couple of weeks makes. So I want to start on this. And I always ask people, especially younger people, they'll say, you know, oh, I want to get into sports media. What should I do? Like, what's your goal? What's your goal? If you want to be a play-by-play broadcaster in Major League Baseball, then you need to go down to Winston-Salem, or you need to go to Portland, Maine, or you need to go to Daytona, Florida, and you got to call minor league baseball games. And you got to be good at it. I'd love to call Major League Baseball on the radio. I'm not going down to Kingsport to go call AA games in order to build up my resume when I already like my job I have now. So what's your goal? And I asked this a couple of weeks ago when the Titans lost to the Steelers, which was a catastrophic loss at the time. And I said, what was the goal going into the season? Now, everybody will say, win the Super Bowl. But in reality, we know that's probably not true. Every team's goal technically is to win the Super Bowl. But there's like a handful of teams that literally it's like, hey, it's the Super Bowl or it's a major disappointment. Kansas City, Green Bay, Tampa Bay. If Dallas gets to an NFC title game, they'll live with it. But what's the goal around here? And I said, look, the goal is competing for championships. Competing for the Super Bowl. Not getting to the Super Bowl and winning. Not Super Bowl or bust. Not if they're not in the AFC title game, Vrabel should be fired. No, none of that. 1999, the Titans were 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl. I would say they were competing for a championship. 2000, they had the best record in the NFL. They had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They lost to the Ravens in the first game of the divisional round. That team was still all season long competing for a championship. The 2 years later, they were in the AFC title game. The next year, they lost at the Patriots in the divisional round of the playoffs. They had a league MVP at quarterback. Those four teams in 5 years, they were competing for a title. In 2007, when they made it in on the last day of the season, in that Sunday night football game, they beat the Colts, who pulled all their starters, and they went on the road and got beat by the Chargers. That team was never going to take on the 16-0 New England Patriots and go to Foxborough and win. Like Vince Young at quarterback. That was never going to happen. When Mike Mularkey went on the road and won the playoff game against Kansas City and then got spanked in New England, like that team was never going to compete for a championship. This year, the goal was to compete for a championship. And I told you after they lost to the Steelers, that was probably gone. Because that would involve having to go on the road. And the road's hard in the NFL in the playoffs. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning have played 5 times in the playoffs. The record, Manning is 3-2. It's crazy, right? First two matchups in Foxborough, Brady won 24-14. Brady won 20-6. In Indianapolis, Manning won 38-34. In Denver, he won 26-16. And in Denver, he won 20-18. Playing at home matters in the playoffs. But I think the thing that really stuck out from yesterday's game, when it goes to what's your goal, was that now we can see the reality of the goal. And yesterday's game was a good example of this. When a team wins in the NFL, a very week-to-week league, and this show, we react week to week. It's Reaction Monday. But when a team wins in the NFL, everything is good, and when they lose, everything is bad. We know that. But yesterday, what the Titans did against Miami was they played the way they're going to have to play if they want to get to the Super Bowl. Forget about winning the Super Bowl. I'll deal with Green Bay or Tom Brady or the Cowboys. I'll deal with them once you get there. Right now, it's about you and the AFC. And I kept telling you I was scared to death of going to Arrowhead Stadium. The Titans have played the Chiefs three times over the last handful of years. I've been at all three games, two here, one there. Home field advantage made a difference. Titans 2-0 at Nissan Stadium, and we all know how the AFC title game went. These things matter. But yesterday's game was the blueprint. You all know me. I'm not somebody who's going to look at one game and say, you know, even if they win by a point, hey, everything's good. They beat the Jets by a point. Vrabel's on his way. The offense, this, the defense, that. That's not how I do it. That's how a lot of other people do it. That's not how we do it on this show. But yesterday's game was the blueprint. They're not going to blow everybody out like they did Miami. They're not going to do that to Joe Burrow. You can do it to Tua. You can't do it to Joe Burrow. But what I learned about yesterday's game is the whole key to all of this is, can Ryan Tannehill go two games now? Three if you count next week against Houston, because you got to win that game, and they will. But can he go three games if you count Houston, or two games in the playoffs where he doesn't turn the ball over? That's it. The Titans don't have the best defense in the NFL. They got a pretty damn good one. I mean, that is a good defense out there. This can be a defensive first team. I kept telling you guys, wait till Bud Dupree gets back. Wait till Bud Dupree gets back. Because the defense we saw against the Rams when Bud was in wasn't the same as the defense we saw against the Saints when Bud went out. And knock on wood, if Bud could just stay away from Walgreens, perhaps this defense would be in a much better state. And they look like a defense that can carry you. See defense yesterday? Looked pretty good. The running game. I begged after the loss to the Texans, get back to running the ball. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, punt it. Get back to doing it with Foreman. Now, I don't want Tannehill throwing it 52 times. Run it. I don't care who's out there. I don't care if it's Foreman or Adrian Peterson. Pick a running back. Give him the ball. Go with it. The running game works. Now, it's not going to work every time the way it worked yesterday. Just like it worked really well against the Steelers, didn't work very well against San Francisco. But running game's fine. Special teams, fine. The big boy makes his kicks. The punter puts the ball down at the three. Chester Rogers didn't screw up in the return game. It's all about whether or not Tannehill turns the ball over. Tannehill wasn't perfect yesterday. They really didn't ask him to do anything. He threw the ball 18 times. He missed a wide-open A.J. Brown on the first drive, and I'm not even mad about it. Because all I'm asking him to do is to go out there and not turn it over. Here's how they started the game yesterday on offense. Punt, punt, start at the Miami 46-yard line. Great field position. Touchdown. Tua fumbles the ball. Start at the Miami 14-yard line. Field goal. Now you've got momentum. Now it's 10-0. They start at their own 25. They march down the field and score a touchdown. That was the one offensive drive of the game where they started, they started at their own 25, where they started deep in their own territory and marched it down the field and scored a touchdown. When the game was still close, it was the only one. And if I get one of those from Tannehill, against the Buffalo Bills, if I can get one of those from Tannehill, against Joe Burrow, if I can get one of those from Tannehill, then you have to hope that the defense can hold. By the way, second half, punt, punt. They started at the Titan 42. They scored a touchdown. Game's over. So they only had to march it down the whole field one time. But what was the key? Tannehill didn't turn the ball over. What was the key against San Francisco? Tannehill didn't turn the ball over. Jimmy G turned the ball over. That's what this is going to be all about. Can Ryan Tannehill, and it's not just him, Foreman had a ball that came out yesterday, though I thought he was down and the ground caused it, and they said it didn't come out. But Foreman had one that came out early. So when they run the ball, Derrick Henry, by the way, I listened to everybody talk about, Derrick Henry does fumble, not very often, but he does. So he's going to have to not fumble in the playoffs. Same with all the guys who fumbled the game away against Pittsburgh, all those things. If Ryan Tannehill and the offense can just not turn the ball over, this team's got a really good shot of going to the Super Bowl. Playing at home matters. Just ask Cincinnati. Let's put that game at Arrowhead yesterday. You tell me what happens. I told you all, after the Pittsburgh loss, if that game had been in Nissan Stadium, the Titans would have blown that team out. If last week's game against the 49ers had been in San Francisco, the Titans would have lost that game. This game, they probably would have won no matter what because Tua stinks and Vrabel put it in his hands. But that's the blueprint. And you're not going to win every game by 30 points doing it. You know, if you go out there against Cincinnati and your defense plays as well as they're capable of, and Ryan Tannehill doesn't turn the football over and they don't fumble the ball, I still think you'll win. But it won't be as easy as yesterday was because Cincinnati's offense, Kansas City's offense, Josh Allen, all the guys that are coming in here are better than what we saw yesterday from the Dolphins, which is why the Dolphins aren't going to make the playoffs. But that's the formula. And now it's two games. It's two games. And if Kansas City ends up getting the two seed, the only chance you have at seeing Kansas City would be in the AFC title game. So you'd only have to win one game at home against the Chiefs. Look, there's a chance you could play one of these teams. All of them have good quarterbacks. All of them. They all have good quarterbacks. Buffalo's got a good quarterback. Kansas City's got a great quarterback. Cincinnati's got an unbelievable quarterback. And then, you know, there's the Colts and the Patriots, which are another level. But I don't expect to see either of those teams here. And if they do, it's a gimme. I shouldn't say a gimme, excuse me. It's a bonus. Because I'd much rather play those guys than have to play Joe Burrow. But if you play a good quarterback here, there's no guarantee that if you don't turn the ball over that you will win. But that's the best way for you to do it. You beat Buffalo at home by 1 foot this season. Play that game in Buffalo, see what happens. You spanked Kansas City at Nissan Stadium. You beat Kansas City at Nissan Stadium the year they went on to win the Super Bowl. We saw what happened to the Titans in Foxborough. So the whole key to all of this, let the defense play the way the defense is playing. A.J. Brown's a big deal. He's back. But just don't turn the ball over. And that's what Vrabel wants to do. When Mike Vrabel took this job, he talked at his introductory press conference about how important it was to get home playoff games. I think Vrabel would know. I looked it up this morning. Under Brady and Belichick, when the Patriots have the number one overall seed, I figured, Ian, that would be enough of a sample size, right?
Fair.
Like, yep. Brady and Belichick had the number one seed 8 times. They didn't have the number one seed 9 times. So I think it's a pretty fair comparison. When Brady and Belichick had the number one seed, they went to the Super Bowl 6 of 8 times, 2003, 2007, 2011, 2014, 2016, 2017. They didn't win the Super Bowl every time, but they got to the Super Bowl 6 out of 8 times. That's 75% of the time. The number one seed, Patriots, Brady and Belichick go to the Super Bowl. When Brady and Belichick didn't have the number one seed and had to go on the road, they won their first two that way, or I shouldn't say they won their first two that way, but the first 2 times that they weren't the number one seed, they went on the road to Pittsburgh, won the AFC title game, and won the Super Bowl. Outside of that, 2005, lost in the AFC divisional round. 2006, lost in the championship game at Indy. 2009, lost in the AFC wildcard at Baltimore. 2013, lost in the championship game at Denver. 2015, lost in the championship game at Denver. 2018, won the Super Bowl. They went to Kansas City in that incredible game. And they beat the Chiefs in overtime in the AFC title game. 3 out of 9 times. They got to the Super Bowl. That's 33%. So Brady Belichick, 9 times, 33% they're not the number one seed. 8 times, 75% they get to the Super Bowl, the number one seed. That's how big of a deal this is. It doesn't guarantee you anything, but this is the formula. Yesterday was the formula. Nissan Stadium, loud crowd. You could hear it through the television. The team played focused. They played hard. And they did not turn the ball over. And now there's a path. Now there is a path to Los Angeles. If Ryan Tannehill just plays within himself and doesn't throw the ball to the other team, like he didn't throw the ball to the other team at New England in the playoffs, like he didn't throw the ball to the other team at Baltimore in the playoffs, like he didn't throw the ball to the other team yesterday, you got a shot. You got a real shot. This is a big deal. This is a big one. The win yesterday, but I will say this. I turned the game off. I picked the Titans to win. I thought it'd be a lot uglier than it was, and I was proud of how the Titans played. But I flipped on for most of the fourth quarter the Cincinnati-Kansas City game. And I thought, watching that game, I'm like, I don't want to play in either of these two buildings. But I wouldn't mind Cincinnati with their lack of experience. Now, look, Joe is a stone-cold killer, and Ja'Marr Chase is a bad boy, and they got great wide receivers, but I wouldn't mind them coming into Nissan Stadium. We've seen Patrick Mahomes 0-2 at Nissan Stadium. That's how I want to take my chance. What's the goal? Compete for the championship. What's the best way to do it? Play at home and don't turn the ball over. It's that simple. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. What a big win. You should be giddy today, Titan fans. That was a big one. And the formula proven yesterday. Again, you're not going to win if you play Buffalo and you don't turn it over. You're not going to win by 30 points like you did yesterday, but you're probably going to win. You play the Bengals, you play the Chiefs, because you got a defense. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, calls and texts. We'll get to the calls first, though. 615-737-1025, and without Caroline today, it's much easier to do the calls than it is the text, so just keep that in mind. We got game balls we got to give away. We'll do that coming up next. Plus, the Titans yesterday proved something that I think is now what we should hold them accountable to, which is what they should hold themselves accountable to. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drinkfocus.com. The show is presented by TriStar Moving. You know I've been telling you now about TriStar Moving for a year and a half. I moved with them a couple, year and a half ago, literally in 2020, so it was 2 calendar years ago. I moved with TriStar Moving, and it was fantastic. There's a reason their motto is TriStar Movers with 5-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They offer home protection, covering your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, even the doors themselves, and they're always upping the game when it comes to mover training. All of my furniture was wrapped and protected. They've got a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet as well. If you're looking to move, give TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared sent you for 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, my official movers.
They had the matchup they wanted to with a Miami linebacker, Baker, second and 10, Foreman. Look at him, bust free. He'll be in for 6. Great blocking ahead from Jones.
I've had one consecutive division title since 60-61, the first 2 years. What's it say about this group of guys that they've been able to forge?
I think when you do this, you want to do it and you want to try to create a family. You want to try to create a family that has a common goal of winning and understand that, every member of that family or this team is going to be different, is going to be from somewhere else. And it's our job to try to bring everybody together for a common goal of winning. And that's what we've always tried to do.
There you go. That was Vrabel after the game yesterday. Hey, it's all about winning. It's all about bringing everybody together, which is funny because when Vrabel took over the job, Ian, how much did he talk about complimentary football?
Oh, that was a pretty good buzzword there for a minute.
Oh, my goodness. It was a buzzword. Guess what they did yesterday? Complimentary football. They didn't try to do too much on offense. They made, I thought the best thing they did was they put the ball into his hands. Bad weather. Titans got a touchdown early. Good field position.
Getting the lead early was key in this game for sure.
And that's what Vrabel went for it on fourth, or kicked a field goal on fourth down early. You know, you get the fumble from Tua. You want to be up 14-0. You want to put the pressure on Tua. You want, but he kicked the field goal. And I said it reluctantly. I would have kicked a field goal too. I think they would have gotten it had they gone for it on fourth down, but I would have kicked it too because you wanted to put the game into his hands. Defense played great. Special teams played great. Offense played good enough. And I was listening, you know, Vrabel gave everybody a game ball yesterday. Well, I'm not going to do that here. There are certain times where everybody gets a game ball, but I'm not going to do that here. So I'm going to go with game balls. Offensive game ball, Deontay Foreman. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious for everybody, right? Foreman gets a game ball. He ran the ball like Derrick Henry yesterday. He really made it tough on him. And Christian Wilkins, some of his comments after the game yesterday in Miami were like, we knew what they were going to do, and they just blocked it up. Like, we knew what they were going to do. They went out and did it, and they just kept running it.
Foreman does look like he's kind of getting better as he gets the ball more. You know, as these weeks go on, I guess being out of football, the ball security obviously is getting better, but he seems to be breaking some tackles.
Oh, Foreman looks, I thought last year when Foreman was on the team, that, you know, he kind of looks like a mini Derek. He's not as good as Derek, but they went to Cincinnati, and you could tell Arthur Smith got frustrated with the way Tannehill was playing because he stunk it up that game at Cincy. And they turned around one drive, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry every play. Well, Derrick got tired, and so Foreman went in the game, and he did fine. I'm like, this guy should be Derrick's backup, and then they cut him. Inexplicably cut him, and he was gone. And so now he's back because Derrick's hurt. And I say this to everybody that's like, you know, I only want Derrick to go out there if Derrick is 100%. And I'm like, okay, that's probably not going to happen. And you're still going to put Derrick out there. But Foreman, if you go into this Texans game and you play Derek and you just want him to get a couple of carries and just get a feel for it, give him 15 carries, give the rest to Foreman. Give him 10 carries, give the rest to Foreman. Foreman gets a game ball. Defense, I'm giving it to the defensive line. Now, normally, you know, Floyd says one game ball for one player, but I'm giving it to the defensive line. And here's why I'm giving it to the defensive line. Because every time I watch Bud Dupree play defense for this Titan team, somebody is in the backfield. Sometimes it's Autry. Sometimes it's Simmons. Sometimes it's Landry. Sometimes it's Bud. Sometimes it's Naquan Jones. Sometimes it's Tierre Tart. And sometimes it's this Pecco who was out there yesterday. But somebody is in the backfield every time Bud Dupree's out there. So I'm just giving it to all of them. And I'm going to say, instead of you sitting there saying, well, you know, it's really Denico Autry that's doing it. Really, it's all of them giving them a game ball. And this goes back to my theory about getting to Los Angeles. Again, not winning the Super Bowl. We will worry about Green Bay or Dallas or Tampa Bay or the Rams. We'll worry about them when it's time to worry about them if the Titans can get to the Super Bowl. You only have to beat one of them. But this team can get to L.A. with this defensive line. By the way, every good Titans team that the Titans have had over the years, it's been about the defensive line. I hear these analytical nerds talk about, well, you know, you take -3 because Kenny Vaccaro's not there, but add one, like, defensive line. Kearse, Carter, Haynesworth, Vanden Bosch, Josh Evans had a safety in the AFC Championship game, just rotating guys in. Floyd Reese, when he was general manager, 1997, first-round defensive line, Kenny Holmes. 1999, first round, went out and drafted Javon Kearse. 2002, first round, Albert Haynesworth. 2001, traded the first-round pick to go out and get Kevin Carter. You think that man put a premium on defensive line? Clearly. And it makes everybody better. Special teams, Brett Kern looked like Brett Kern yesterday. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot harder for Joe Burrow if you play him in a playoff game if he has to start the 6. Field position matters. And Kern yesterday, I thought Kern was awesome. I mean, that was vintage Brett Kern. So he gets a game ball. By the way, it should be noted the way the Titans won this game, I always love it. Did you see, Ian, did you see Joe Judge, the coach of the Giants, like, lose his mind yesterday after the game and just say a bunch of crazy crap?
I saw the link, but I didn't actually watch the video.
So he basically got up there for 20 minutes and ranted about how the Giants are not a clown organization when everybody in their heart knows that they are, which is a lot like Matt Patricia, another Belichick guy in Detroit last year, though I do love Matt Patricia. Flores, a Belichick coach in Miami, hasn't gotten it totally figured out in 3 years. Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, these guys get all their chances and they don't do anything with it. And then there's Vrabel. Now, Vrabel is not a Belichick disciple. Like, he's not a Belichick coach, but he played for Belichick. And when Vrabel got the job, there was a lot of talk about the idea that, well, you know, Mike Vrabel is, you know, it's not just Belichick. It's Bill Cowher, who he played for in Pittsburgh. It's Urban Meyer before Urban was a disgrace. It's Urban Meyer, who he coached with at Ohio State. It's more than just Belichick. This is a Belichick team, guys. You watch him play. They want to punch you down there. They want to be physical on the defensive line. They set the edge. They take away what you're best at. Every time. They want you to beat them with their weakness. Tua yesterday. All right, we're going to take this small quarterback who hasn't really demonstrated that he can throw the ball down the field, and we're going to make him beat us with his arm. Couldn't do it. This is a Belichick team. What I'm looking at right here with the Titans right now they don't have Tom Brady, but it's a Belichick team. And what's the number one no-no for Bill Belichick? Turning the football over. And when this team doesn't turn the ball over, they win. And when this team turns the football over, they are capable at losing to anybody. It is wild to think, you know what, if they had just beaten the Jets, or if they had just beaten the Texans at home instead of turning it over 5 times, or if they had just beaten that awful, awful Steeler team a couple weeks ago when they had a double-digit lead, they would already have the number one seed. The Titans, it's great. The Titans this year, and again, you can play what if in every game. If Josh Allen gets a yard for Buffalo, that changes the outcome of that game. You play that with whatever. If the Titans just won the games they were supposed to win, this team might be 15-2. It's all about turning the ball over. That is it to me. That's the formula. 2 games at home. I've always told you, the road to the Super Bowl, most important thing. 2 games at home, you're probably getting 2 better quarterbacks. And now, upsets could happen. Everybody except for me loves Indianapolis. I don't know if they still love Indianapolis, but going into the weekend, everybody except for me loved Indianapolis. And a lot of people like New England because of Belichick, and I think that's fair. But most likely, a better quarterback will be in here for the first game, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. And then most likely, Patrick Mahomes would be here for the AFC title game. But you can beat better quarterbacks. You've beaten Stafford. You've beaten Mahomes. You've beaten Allen. You can beat better quarterbacks. You just can't turn the ball over. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your phones. Plus, Tony Dungy. What he said yesterday about the Titans and why it's the most important thing I think anybody nationally has said. And I think Tony's got some experience that would lead me to believe this. We'll get to that coming up next here on Stillman and Company. We will get to your text. We'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025. By the way, FanDuel Sportsbook's my official sportsbook app. This is one you all probably want to hear because I think a lot of people are going to want to be thinking about right now going to Super Bowl 56. And FanDuel might be the way to do it. Because when you refer a friend to FanDuel, you'll be entered for a chance to win an all expenses paid trip to Super Bowl 56 for two. Don't miss FanDuel's biggest refer a friend offer ever. All you have to do is share your exclusive referral link right from the Sportsbook app. Once your friend places any bet of $10 or more, you'll both get $50 and you'll be entered into the Super Bowl sweepstakes. If you or a friend has been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the time to give it a try. And when you win on FanDuel, they will pay you your winnings in as little as 2 hours, and they now accept Venmo. So you got it all right there. If you're new to FanDuel, you can use the promo code JGM to get first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM, and see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and refer your friend for your chance to head to Los Angeles for Super Bowl 56. 6. 21 and older and present Tennessee referred players must wager $10 within 28 days after signing up. Bonus issued as a site credit that is non-withdrawable expires 14 days after, or excuse me, expires after 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. No purchase necessary for Super Bowl ticket promotion. Super Bowl promotion closes 1-9-22. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Home field advantage hasn't been quite as strong this season with teams able to go on the road and win all across the league this year. You all are 7-2 at home this season, among the tied for the best record in the AFC. What has made it so tough to, you know, for home teams to hold their home fields? And what is it that makes it good? You know, why would it be good for you guys to be able to have home field advantage throughout the postseason?
Well, I mean, just historically, as a young player coming into this league, I was taught that you got to win the games in the division. You got to win your home games, and you got to steal a couple on the road. And I think that remains to be true. I don't know why the numbers are what they are, Teresa. I haven't tried to study them other than, you know, playing well or turnovers or things that normally get you beat in any location. And I think our fans have been fantastic. I think they've been unbelievable. The support that we've had, you know, I hope that they get on a plane and they go down and they support us in Houston. We've had, you know, great number of fans travel with us on the road, LA and, you know, Seattle and these different places and Indianapolis to, you know, to watch us play. So, hopefully that they'll continue the excitement and help us this week as we travel on the road to try to get a, you know, a road victory.
That was Vrabel. Funny, he doesn't want to look too forward to the playoffs. He doesn't want to start thinking about, you know, oh, yeah, it'll be big to have home field advantage in the playoffs. It'll, you know, he said as a young player, it was important for us to win games at home. And because in New England, Brady and Belichick never been to the Super Bowl when having to play on wild card weekend. Brady went last year with Tampa Bay. They went on the road to Washington. They won that game and ended up winning the Super Bowl. Other than that, Brady and Belichick, never been to the Super Bowl. Tony Dungy yesterday was talking at halftime on Sunday Night Football. Maria Taylor asked him about the Titans. And when you get 5 seconds to say everything about the Titans, it's hard to put it all in there. But I think Tony, at the very end of it, hits on why yesterday was so big.
Let's go back to the Tennessee Titans, coach, because they lose Derrick Henry, the NFL's leading rusher at the time. They still clinch their division, and now they're in the seat for the one seed. They're one win away.
Yeah, and this Cincinnati win today really helped them. Now all they have to do is beat Houston next week. They'll be the number one seed. Another week to get Derrick Henry back healthier. And if they have to play the Chiefs again, it won't be in Arrowhead Stadium.
There you go. If they have to play the Chiefs, it won't be at Arrowhead. By the way, since Tannehill and Mahomes have become the quarterbacks of the Titans, they've played 3 times. 2019 Nissan Stadium, Titans 135-32. And that was a fluky, weird kind of game at the end. Chiefs making mistakes. 2019 AFC title game, Chiefs 135-24. And the third game this year, 27-3, Titans at Nissan Stadium. So the home quarterback wins every time. I already went over Brady Manning. In the playoffs, 5 times, the home quarterback, 5-0. It's a big deal to not have to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead. It's a big deal. I looked at yesterday's Chiefs-Bengals game as the one game that you had to have. After you screwed up the Steeler game, this was the one game that you had to have. Because I did not think the Titans could go to Arrowhead and win a playoff game. I simply didn't think they could. And I still don't think that they can. But now if they can beat the Texans this week, and they will, then you don't have to worry about it. And Tony Dungy knows that. Because Tony had to go to Foxborough in the playoffs. And Tony lost those games 20-6. Tony got to play them in the Dome. Tony went to the Super Bowl. So he knows. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark drink. Focus. PHOCUS.com. Michael is going to kick us off. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I saw your tweet earlier responding to Joe Rexroth's take on the whole analytical situation. And I just wanted to say that I've been completely on board with your take on analytics and football ever since Joe Staley basically threw that game against the Chiefs for going for it so many times. I'm tired of hearing about all these analytics and how saying, like, oh, the Titans are, like, the worst one seed or whatever. I saw that on Twitter earlier today, how they're one of the weakest AFC teams in the playoffs, and I was like, according to analytics or whatever. And I saw that, and I'm officially just completely done with the whole analytics BS that everyone's been talking about here the past couple weeks.
So I think you're getting two things. Thank you for your call, Michael. I think you're getting two things mixed up. I think you're getting the tweet from Ross Tucker that was, would the Titans be the worst one seed of all time? And like the analytic nerds that no one's ever heard of that have never, don't even know anybody in the NFL who are tweeting out stuff about, like, now the DVO62A.com says that the Titans would this, that, the other. And I understand there's a place for analytics in sports. Like, there is a place. Like, if I ran a team, we would have an analytic department. And I would listen to the analytic department. But I wouldn't make every decision based upon the analytic department either. Here's what gets me all worked up. Is what has happened now is people go to Twitter because it makes them feel like they have friends. So when they go to Twitter and they say something about football, even though they don't really know anything about football, they get people to respond to what they're saying, and they feel like this sense of entitlement that people listen to me talk about football. Like, Floyd used to laugh about all this stuff all the time. And it's because it was funny. Because he didn't take it seriously. He didn't care what some guy out there says. And my gut tells me if Floyd were still here, God bless him, then he were to become general manager again of another team, he'd have an analytic department. Now, he wouldn't make every decision based upon the analytics, but he'd have an analytic department. But I think what it's done is it's allowed people that don't really know anything about football to put things into like a spreadsheet and then feel like, see, I know. Like, does anybody watch the Fox NFL pregame show? Ian, do you ever watch that anymore? Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long.
Man, I don't do the network pregame shows anymore. I'll be honest with you. There's just too many options, you know.
They're terrible. Between Michael Irvin on the NFL Network and Terry Bradshaw on Fox, these guys are awful, okay? Terry played like 40 years ago, and now he just gets up there and says that I can't even understand.
I'm surprised Howie Long is still out there. He looks exactly the same, 20 years.
Hasn't aged a day. I'm sorry about Terry, but Howie has not aged a day. I can listen to Howie sometimes. But I say this because, like, you get an analytic guru who wants to go on Twitter or writes a book or does something, you know, the analytics say, and they talk about it with conviction like that means something. Like, how is that any different than we ran a simulation of the Madden football video game? How's that any different than Terry Bradshaw getting up there and saying, you know what, I think the Saints are going to win this week? And it's really not. By the way, the Cleveland Browns are built around analytics. Paul DePodesta, if you've ever read the book or seen the movie Moneyball, Paul DePodesta was the guy that came out of the Ivy Leagues to work for Billy Beane with the A's, a baseball guy. He is essentially running the Cleveland Browns and has been for the last 5 years. How's Cleveland done? 615-737-1025. Back to your phones on Reaction Monday. Plus, the one definitive takeaway that I got from yesterday's game. And I don't like going off of one game, but now I think we've seen enough. We'll get to that coming up right here. It is a Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark drink, focus.com. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Save 75% off at Seafood Sensation, Bad Axe Throwing, the Nashville Armory, and the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Other deals include the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, and more. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals.
Last time he had to play that big, week 7 against Baltimore, 82 yards then, 2nd and 10, ball is free. Heavy pressure.
Tennessee's got it.
Recovered by Elijah Molden.
I felt bad for Tua on that one. He just dropped that. Whoop! Oh my God, he needed a John Madden telestrator yesterday. on that Tua fumble because, you know, he drops back a whoop, and then all of a sudden you see all the defensive linemen jumping around, and now here come the offensive linemen, and then all of a sudden Molden jumps in at the last moment and picks up the football. And at that point, you had to feel kind of good. At least that was me yesterday watching the game. I felt kind of good. I felt good once I knew, and I'm going to tell you something. This is why I don't scout box scores. Like, the Dolphins win all these games in a row, and everybody's like, hey, the Dolphins have won 7 in a row, and they're red hot, and they're playing for their playoff lives, and Tua has the highest completion percentage in the NFL. But I need to watch you play. Like, I need to see you play. These national analysts, I don't know how much they really watch when they talk. I know they watch Kansas City and Cincinnati. I know they watch Dallas and Arizona. And I know they probably watched the first 30 minutes of Green Bay yesterday, and then they got that game off the TV because you can't watch that. But that's it. Like, they're not watching, you know, they're not watching the Titans game. So I have not watched a lot of Tua. And I told you all this. When I looked at the Dolphins and all the games they had been winning, I saw a team that had beaten the Jets and the Giants and the Panthers and the Texans and whatever that Saint team was on Monday night. I'm like, you know, I think Tua kind of stinks. But I will never jump on a young quarterback, good or bad. First year guys, Baker Mayfield, rookie of the year. I'm not ready to commit to it. I am not ready. Justin Herbert last year, rookie of the year. I love Justin Herbert. Not ready to jump on it yet. But once you get to the end of year two, you can start to kind of tell a little bit. Patrick Mahomes won the MVP. Lamar Jackson won the MVP. You can kind of tell. Josh Allen was in the playoffs. Tua stinks. I mean, like, it's crazy because I was always a little concerned about this when he was at Alabama because they won the national title the year that he came in the game and they beat Georgia. But then he was the starter and they got embarrassed by Clemson in the national title game. Then he was the starter, and they were good, but then he got hurt. But my logic is at Alabama, with those running backs, that offensive line, those receivers, that defense, that coach, like, I could quarterback Alabama, and we'd still win a lot of our games. And so Tua won one national title that all he played was the title game. But no team that he had start to finish at Alabama won the title. Mac Jones comes in, does a better job. Bryce Young's better quarterback than Tua was in college. So I saw Tua in college, and I kept thinking, what's he going to be like when he gets to the NFL and he doesn't have the best of everything, which is what you have to worry about with an Alabama quarterback? And I watched Tua yesterday, and I've seen him, you know, here and there, and, you know, I thought it was weird that they pulled him out. He sucks. Like, he sucks. Mike Vrabel's plan yesterday was put the game on Tua, and Tua couldn't deliver. And the reason Tua couldn't deliver? Because he sucks. There are two second-year quarterbacks that we all watched parts of yesterday. I watched three quarters of Tua. Then I watched Joe Burrow in the fourth quarter. Now again, I am always cautious with young quarterbacks because young quarterbacks take time to learn what's going on in the NFL. Floyd used to say, the first year, you're just trying not to get killed. The second year, you're learning the offense. The third year, you're learning the defense. The fourth and fifth year, you got to master it. You got to prove you're a franchise guy. And so we've seen years where Carson Wentz looked like he was the next great quarterback his second year. Derek Carr looked like he was a great quarterback down the stretch. Even Marcus Mariota had a great second year. So I'm not ready to anoint a guy a king after their second year. But there is a point in time where you look at a guy and you're like, this dude's special. Joe Burrow is that. There also comes a point in time where you look at somebody and you say, this guy stinks. Tua is that. Now, the Dolphins aren't very good. And I think the Dolphins are an incredibly average team. They got a decent coach. They got a decent defense. They've drafted a bunch of guys that are still kind of young. They might get a little bit better. They might make the playoffs. But all this talk about Deshaun Watson and everything, I understand why they're doing it, because Tua stinks. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe texts in and says the Titans are what they are. They are a run-first team, and that is why they should be putting a contract in front of Deontay Foreman today. The Titans need a capable backup for Derrick Henry. They do not need to take that issue into the postseason. I don't know why they need to put a contract in front of Deontay Foreman. Now, I like Deontay Foreman. I do. I was one that last year when they released him, I'm like, why? Why take him out? Why this? Why that? I mean, I think he's the perfect backup to Derrick Henry. And as much as I like Foreman, he's not Derrick Henry. It's funny. There's a clip that I saw a lot on Twitter last night of Stephen A. Smith when the news came down that Derrick Henry had broken his foot. I think the morning show today called it Jones Fracture Monday. And so on Jones Fracture Monday, there was a clip of Stephen A. Smith saying, the Titans are done. Titans are done. They're out of here. It's over. Whatever. And people are now pointing to that clip like a cold take, like, ha, 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 look at Stephen A. Smith and these people that doubt the Titans and they don't know. And I see that and I'm like, okay, hold on. Let's take some context with this. Let's think about this for a second. Let's not get... At that point in time, Adam Schefter was the first one to report this, and he was convinced Derrick Henry was done for the year. And when you hear done for the year, normally that means playoffs. Chris Godwin at Tampa Bay, done for the year. So you hear that and you think, oh yeah, this one's over. But they didn't see the schedule. They didn't understand that when the Titans beat the Colts, the day that Derek broke his foot, the Titans essentially won the division. I kept saying that week, if the Titans win this game, and they beat the Colts, then we're not worried about Indianapolis anymore. Now we're worried about Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore at the time, and that's who we would be worried about. And everybody else was like, well, but, you know, the Colts coming up. Nope. Colts have got to win too many games. They've dug themselves too big of a hole, and you've got the tiebreaker. And even though Indianapolis won some games that we didn't think they'd win at Buffalo, at Arizona, they still lost enough. And that's why the Colts aren't in this thing, because of the hole that they dug. So I knew. We looked at it. We said they got to win three more games. If they win three more games, they probably make the playoffs. And that's how we approached it. And the Titans won those three games, and they stole the Rams game that I don't think any of us expected them to steal. But quite frankly, they beat teams they should beat. They beat the Saints who they should beat. They beat the Dolphins who they should beat. They beat the 49ers who they should beat. Really, the thing is, even without Derrick Henry, they should have beat the Texans. They probably should have beat the Steelers. Steelers aren't very good. So we can sit there and talk about, you know, hey, this team, they got to get a contract for Foreman because, guys, Derrick Henry's the best player in the league. Derrick Henry, when he comes back, is the running back of the Titans. Foreman's done a good job. Keith texts in and says, I have to support everything Jared has said today. However, I think there are a couple more things that should be added. Special teams, number one, the way the kicker is putting things inside the 10, and punt coverage has been much better on punt returns. Just want to hear your response. Here's my thing on special teams. If Randy Bullock can make all of his kicks inside of 48 yards, that's all I need. That's all I need. I still trust Brett Kern. No mental screw-ups like fielding a ball you shouldn't field or letting a ball bounce that you shouldn't let bounce or not getting lined up like they did against Patriots. But Kern can be a weapon. I just need Randy Bullock to hit everything inside of 48 yards. That's it. No Al Del Greco. No four missed kicks in a game. Not doing that in the playoffs. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, boy, Titans fans have been jacked up. And I think for good reason. There was one really bad thing that was said. I shouldn't say really bad, but it was bad. There was one bad thing that was said. And then something interesting, an emotional thing that a current Titan said that I think says a lot about where they are. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, Reaction Mondays, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus Naturally Caffeinated Water, sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com. It is the new year, and I know many of you for your New Year's resolution are trying to lose weight. Maybe you joined a gym. Maybe you've decided, okay, Went to the grocery store the other day, loaded it up. I want to lose weight in 2022. Well, I'm here to tell you how to do this with Semaglutide, which is carried exclusively at Invigorate Health. Invigorate Health has two area locations, one in Mount Juliet, one in Franklin, and they've got Semaglutide. What is Semaglutide? It is a safe drug that has been around for years, originally prescribed for diabetic patients. July of last year, the FDA approved it for weight loss, and Semaglutide has it. Men's Health Magazine hails it as a breakthrough that helps people gain healthy years of life. So lose pounds and gain healthy years of life. I talked to my primary care doctor about it before I decided to start talking to you. And my PCP said it is a great drug. My cousins are pharmacists. They say it's a great drug. It is safe. It is a safe way to lose weight. Semaglutide. Give it a try. Invigorate Health, two locations, Mount Juliet and Franklin. InvigorateHealthTN.com, 615-288-4777.